thank you for the blessings and benefits that you have afforded us this past year and that you will afford us this year in Jesus' name. Thank you according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God that we will thrive in 2025. That things that are dead in our life will become alive and will more than just survive. Thank you that we will flourish and finish what you've called in every area that you called us to flourish and fulfill and accomplish this year. We thank you, Father God, for the Word penetrating our hearts and our minds and the Spirit of God causing us to see, hear, and know everything clear and everything concise for us to do in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory in Jesus' most precious name. We receive your word today, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and close it all the way that way. All right, John chapter 16. Praise the Lord. Y'all excited this morning? All right, John chapter 16. It says in the New King James Version, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So we're going to begin a New Year's series on the question, what's next? And we're centering out around the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. I heard these words back probably in late November. Early December, he said, we need to pull up real close and grow in a close relationship with the Holy Spirit for 2025. Because he is the launching pad for power in 2025. Now, power just means influence, ability, the ability to get things done, to get results. The Holy Spirit is the partner you need to launch out in and close partnership with in 2025. Now in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Everybody say the communion of the Holy Spirit. So you need all three. You need the grace of the Lord. You need the love of God. And you need the communion of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now we're going to center in on not the grace of the Lord, Jesus Christ, or the love of God, because we've talked about that here and there. But we want to center in on the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word communion, as you see it written here, has two primary meanings. Number one, partnership. Everybody say partnership. Number two, responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. And so partnership simply means business partnership. Now, what business do you have to get taken care of this year? What business, personal, professional, right? Family-wise, because family is the primary economic unit. A family is a business. So what business do you have responsibility to and for in 2025? Everybody say partnership. And then responsibility conveys the idea of someone taking responsibility for someone. Now, a lot of people get in fear because they feel like nobody's looking out after me. Who's praying for me? Who's got my back? What's next in this unknown year of 2025? Well, the Holy Spirit wants you to partner with him, and he also wants to take great responsibility for you and me. Isn't that good? So we see here in Jesus' example, we've got all of these things written down here, is that Jesus and the Holy Spirit always work together. They always work together. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in December. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3, 16. And Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. He was healed people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38. He cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:28. Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11. And Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father. He was exalted and elevated and to his place, heavenly place, next to the right hand of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:19-20. Now, I want you to realize and recognize that every time we see Jesus in the Gospels or Jesus mentioned in the Holy in the epistles, he was working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. Now, he and the Holy Spirit were partners. So the call today, and we're taking communion today, is if will you make and take the Holy Spirit as your partner. Some people know that struggle's real. Things are challenging. Things are hard. Things are rough. But you got help. It's called the mighty Holy Spirit. And will you invite him to invade your life and to come together in partnership and responsibility for your life, for your family, for your future this 2025. That's a good place to say yes, Lord. Okay, let's keep going. So, give you an example. Philippians 4:14, it says, but it was right and commendable and noble of you to contribute to my needs, to share with me in my difficulties. The Passion Translation is that same verse, Philippians 4:14, says, you are so graciously provided for my essential needs during my season of difficulty. This is an example of the Philippian church asking and taking responsibility for the Apostle Paul when he was imprisoned. And you may have come out of 2024 thinking, man, who's going to help me? What am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. In the context of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, this means that just as the Holy Spirit wants to become your partner, he also wants to assume great responsibility for you. Now the question is, will you let him? Will you allow him to help you in your darkest moments, in your deepest valleys? In your moments you want to give up and quit. Of course, if you wish, the Holy Spirit can stand by, because he's a perfect gentleman, and watch you try to help do things all on your own and go it alone in 2025, thinking that if I don't do it, if I don't control it, if I can't have it my way, it won't be done. Everybody say partnership and responsibility. That's what the Holy Spirit's calling us to. That's what's next. That's what's next for us. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit has been called and summoned by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father God to come alongside you and to help you and to aid you and to assist you. Will you let him? I got one amen, but that's okay. And if you open your heart and your spirit today, this first Sunday in January, the Holy Spirit will assume more of an active role in your life. That's what we're talking about. This new year of 2025. He wants you to know that you're not alone and that he will take responsibility for you. Everybody say that's a real good thing. It's a real good proposition. Most people get into fear and fretfulness and worry, anxiety, because they think, what am I going to do? Is anybody going to help me? Am I going to crash and burn? Do I have to play survival of the fittest? When we got a senior partner who's ready to step in and step up in your life in a full, marvelous, and miraculous way. Can somebody say amen? So the Holy Spirit wants to exercise responsibility for you in a supernatural and miraculous way. The question, as we get ready to take communion today, this is a covenant meal. You say, I will let you. Holy Spirit, I invite you. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives both as the person of the Holy Spirit. So he's not a visitor. He doesn't want to be, because Jesus said he calls the Holy Spirit to live within you forever. That means he's not like a hotel guest here. You check in and then you check out. The Holy Spirit's bringing all his stuff to move in permanently in your spirit. So we receive the person of the Holy Spirit, but he's inviting you also to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I got a roommate, an eternal roommate in my spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. Everybody say, that's a good thing. But it's even a better thing when you say, Holy Spirit, let me show me your power. Show me your help. And that power comes in you, that ability that helps you keep standing when you feel totally exhausted and want to faint and fall down in life. Will you let him? So Jesus, we said, came to do three things. He came to do three things. Oh, you guys got it up there. Thank you. To declare the Father. Everybody say, declare the Father. And to be our Redeemer. Everybody say, be our Redeemer. And to announce the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Simple mission. Clear, concise. Now, we say, Jesus came to declare the Heavenly Father. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Everybody say declared him. So declared him. In other words, everybody was so afraid and so messed up and jacked up about God. There was 400 years of biblical silence before, you know, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi to Matthew and, you know, Mark, Luke and those accounts come along where Jesus was born. There was 400 years of silence. So everybody had a distorted or twisted view or vantage point about God. They thought God was aloof, long distance away, hard to please, judgmental, dropping the hammer on everybody, killing folks by the thousands. He was a meanie. God was an ogre. But Jesus came and declared the Father. He wanted to straighten it all out and say, I got to tell you about my Father. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Another translation says it this way. Jesus made the Father known. Jesus had explained the Father. The word translated declared in John 1:18 means introduced in the Greek. So he ran around introducing people to the Father. Praise God. We need to be introduced to the Father. Since he had firsthand knowledge or experience of God Almighty, the creator, the ruler over all, but he also showed him that this very God, the creator of the universe, is also our Father. You may have had not a perfect father or an absentee father, but Jesus says, let me show you the Father. Let me introduce you to the Father. Isn't that good? And some people get twisted a little bit about the concept of God. Because in the first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Well, the word God makes you think it's singular, that it's one person. But we know that from the Hebrew, that word is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and earth. That means plural. So in the beginning, before mankind was ever created, Elohim, God the Father. Now, before Jesus became the Word in the flesh, he was the Word. And then the Spirit. They were partners in creation. When they said, let there be light. When they said, and God said, let there be light. In other words, Elohim, God the Father, the Word, and the Spirit were involved in creation. Somebody say, glory to God. So the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, revealed or introduced us to the Father. He said, you guys got it twisted. You guys don't have it correct. God's not a mean old ogre. He even said in John 3:16, we all know and appreciate that verse, for God, my Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. One of the most famous declarations of the Father is when Jesus responded to the disciples' request to teach him to pray. Look at this. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. And so he said to them, when you pray, say our Father. Don't talk to God like he's distant and derelict of duty. He says, say our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and as also we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That God was a Father was a totally new concept. Can somebody say amen? People had thought God was 1,000 different ways, including a distant spectator. God just watching us collide into ourselves and step all over ourselves and struggle. But Jesus introduced a Father who's connected to you, who's committed to you, who cares for you. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. And so they had no reference point, or God wanted to be active participant in our lives. An active participant in our lives. Amen. Isn't that good? And so, and that he was our Father and a loving Heavenly Father and all of that. Even more so that our Heavenly Father wanted to have a relationship with us. Everybody say a relationship. is your relationship with the Lord, with the Father? See, these are good beginning of the year questions that answer the question, answers to the question, what's next? I need to strengthen my relationship with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. John 5, 18 and 19. Therefore, the Jews sought them all the more to kill him, because he was not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said God with his Father. That was a big deal for the religious and legalistic and religious correct crowd. They said, you can't do that. You're breaking the rules. Well, Jesus said, the relationship triumphs rules. The religious leaders and rulers said, you got to follow the rules. And Jesus was saying, no, you got to have a relationship. Hallelujah. And they got mad at him, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but that he sees the Father do. And for whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. So I'm doing things like I see my Father do. Secondly, we said Jesus came to be our Redeemer. Everybody say Redeemer. You know, even the name Jesus, brothers and sisters, has a context and a description that comes from the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament word, Yeshua or Joshua, and the New Testament word, Hosea, which means put them together. It means God Almighty as Redeemer has come. Joshua, Hosea, God Almighty as Redeemer has come. In other words, God manifest in the flesh. Everybody say, he's my Redeemer. See, when we take communion today, you receive, he's my Redeemer. And we say, my Redeemer lives. We're not going into 2025 with a dead Jesus and a dead spirituality and dead promises. We're going in to thrive because he is alive. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he came to take all of us who were disobedient to God, defiant to God, and distant from God, and offer a way for us to be close to God. When you take that communion today, you need to see this is a way to be close to God. Because Jesus said, what? This is my body, which was broken, not for himself, he says, for you. He was broken so that you and I don't have to be broken. Now, we know that he took stripes on his back, the crown of thorns was put on his head, he was pierced in his side. He was done all kinds of ways. But those are just seven different ways that he was broken for us. I mean, they plucked his beard out. They shamed him and all that. For what reason? So that we don't have to experience that this year. He was broken so we can be unbroken. Isn't that good? And he said, my blood is the testament or the covenant or the divine agreement that I'm ratifying, establishing, making valid for you every day and in every way in 2025. Everybody said, thank you, Lord. My Redeemer lives. All right. And so we know that he was flawless. Jesus came to be the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb without flaw and defect. Amen. We were lost, but now we're found. John 1:29 says, the next day John saw Jesus, John the Baptist, coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, the reason sin has to be dealt with, because sin breaks fellowship and it hinders relationship. Sin breaks fellowship and it hinders relationship. And you think about the different types of sins. There's spiritual sins, there's sensual or sexual sins, and there's social sins. Spiritual sins are really big, and you get judged quicker. Social sins are really large and expansive. And most people trip into those without even knowing it. We need a redeemer. We need a redeemer. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It says here in Hebrews 9:12, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Everybody say eternal redemption. So this redemption is permanent. How many ladies perm your hair occasionally or have your hair permed? No ladies in here at all? Nobody does permanence? Okay. I caught the wrong crowd here, I guess. But yeah, how many of y'all know about permanent? They put perms in here. Okay, all right. And so what happens? They call it a perm, but it's really temporary. And I want you to think about deliverance, and redemption is permanent. It's eternal. That means it never falters or falls apart. That's why he only had to sacrifice one time and give his life one time. Isn't that good? Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption, talking about Jesus Christ, through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. We all are in need of a redeemer. Someone who would take the punishment we deserved, and someone who would off his life as a sacrifice for our sins. That's what he's talking about. My body was broken for you. My blood was shed for you. Amen. And so when we do this, we remember him, his redemptive act of love and grace, his redemptive power to cause us to live in our rightful place. Praise the Lord. And so it's like re-enjoining or reenacting your covenant. It's renewing your eternal life policy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. So when we all need a redeemer, of a redeemer who would make it possible for us to have a relationship with the Holy God, with the Heavenly Father. See, without the redemptive work of Jesus, we would never be able to enter into the throne room of our Father God and enjoy being in his presence. Now, let me say something right here, that the presence of God is something you and I all need to live a healthy and harmonious relationship with the God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You can't last long in your Christian life very successfully without being in his presence. And you think about it. We talked about the 400 years of biblical silence. You know, you think about it. In 2024, there was 366 days, right? Didn't we have a leap year last year? Is that correct? Y'all awake still? Okay, we had. How many days were you out of the presence of God, and how many days were you in? And you know when you're in the presence of God.
Praise God. You're not supposed to live as a Christian long distance in your relationship with God. You're supposed to be close and communion. Remember we talked about the communion of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The love of God. You experience those things. You enjoy those things. You're supposed to bask in those things. Praise the Lord. All right. Without the redemptive works of Jesus, we'll not be able to go into the throne room. He was willing to leave what that close fellowship and he enjoyed with the Father in heaven and lay aside all the heavenly privileges and come to declare the Father and become our Redeemer. Come on, everybody say praise the Lord. All right, lastly, he came to announce the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to introduce it here. And we're going to pick it up there next week. John 16, 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Just one moment. It says here, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, everybody say the helper, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. It is to our advantage for Jesus to go away and send the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Now, sometimes I call it, people walk around with the forgotten God. So they neglect and they ignore the person and power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because they want Jesus to come help me. Jesus, come be with me. And the Holy Spirit's right there. Hallelujah. He says it's to your advantage. Now, if we were doing a poll, most people would raise their hand like this, probably both hands. You think it'd be good if Jesus would come to church and show up today? Everybody would go, yeah. But, you know, he said it's to your advantage that I go away. Because there's one who's a helper, and it's a capital H, which means and connotates covenant. That means he's called, and he's also committed to help you with anything and everything concerning your life. Somebody say hallelujah. The helper, everybody say the helper. Some people say, well, Jesus, come help me. He said, I sent you the greatest help there is. I sent you the greatest help that ever exists and ever will exist. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. He's been called and summoned to your aid, to assist you, to come alongside and help you and defend you and stand up big in you. Hallelujah. John 14, 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no one that comes to the Father except through me. Now, Jesus said, I'm the way. That means if he's the way, you'll never get lost. If he's the truth, you'll never be deceived. If he's the life, you'll never die. Whew. Now, you think about that. In 2025, you'll never be lost. Confounded, dumbfounded, confused, or conflicted as what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be? What steps do I take? What moves do I make? He's the way, but he sent us the one to show us and reveal to us the way, the helper, the Holy Spirit. If he's the truth, you'll never be deceived. And he called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth, our opening scripture. And what will the Spirit of Truth do? He will guide you. It's not like somebody that don't know where they're going. I often get accused of when I'm driving and navigating of missing some turns. and missing some exits. I did it just last week. I was going on an insurance appointment, and it was like I missed it. Had to go all the way around, you know, all the construction. Y'all know San Antonio, right? The Holy Spirit never misses it because he knows exactly what to do. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, he knows exactly what steps to take, what moves to make. Are you listening to me? He said, I already know the end of 2025 from the beginning. So we call him an expert tour guide. He's an expert in guidance because he's already seen the end. He already knows the route. He already knows the plan. He already knows the purpose that God has for you, the Lord has for you for 2025. So the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. Truth is in the Bible. Things are outside of the Bible. The specifics, the specificity, the details. That's not spelled out A, B, C in the Bible. What do I do about this? Who do I connect with? What job do I get? What role, what pathway do I follow? Everybody say the Holy Spirit will help us with that. Hallelujah. So Jesus, who was the embodiment and personification of truth, said it is to our advantage that he leave. It's better for us. So again, the call. What's next? Pull up real close and develop and cultivate a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. How close, Pastor, to where you know his whisper? You know his promptings? You're laying on your pillow at night that you slept on. He's closer than that pillow. If you're married to a spouse, he's closer than that spouse laying next to you in the same bed. That's where he's calling us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 16:7 says this in a Passion Translation. But there is the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. But if I do not go away, the divine encourager. Everybody say the divine encourager. There's so many people depressed. There's so many people full of disappointments. Disappointment, as Noah Webster 1828 dictionary defines, is the frustration of expectancy, the miscarriage of a design or a plan. That means you had this plan, but it got miscarried or got disrupted. It got dismantled. Things didn't go the way you wanted them to. But the divine encourager is there cheering you on and saying, get up. Get out of that bottomless pit of despair. Get up out of that depression and discouragement. Because that's the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah chapter 61 says the garment of praise is for the spirit of heaviness. That word heaviness or spirit of heaviness means discouragement and depression. That means the devil's hit you with a two-barrel shotgun, double-barrel shotgun. Boom. And now you're squandering. You're trying to figure out, where do I go? I can't even see. I can't even think straight. I can't sleep well. The divine encourager will not be released unless Jesus went away. But after I depart, I will send him to you. I love that expression about the Holy. He's the divine encourager. That means encouragement simply means to be encouraged or have courage in doing what God's called you to do. That's one definition. When you're discouraged, you're out of courage. He told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and what? Courageous. Be not afraid. Don't be dismayed. Very strong directives. So in other words, there's no Bible scripture that says we can be discouraged. But there's a divine encourager that will always cause you to be encouraged and be in courageous, because it takes courageousness, a courage of your faith to step out or to step up into what God's called you to do. Hallelujah. In the Amplified Classic, it says this, John 16:7. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. Now, wait a minute. My thought process goes, why did Jesus have to emphasize that I'm telling you the truth? Now, wait a minute, sister. He said he is the truth. But he had to get his disciples' attention and say, wait a minute, you're sitting around thinking that I'm never going to leave you. This is going to be good. We watch him heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. We see him feed the 5,000. Jesus, we don't want you to leave. We don't want, what do we say today? We don't want things to change. And Jesus says, things got to change to your advantage, to make things better for you. And he said, I'm telling you the truth. That shook them to the core. I'm telling you the truth. He's introducing the Holy Spirit. Nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you to go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, this is Amplified Classic, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. So that's the call today, to come in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Has he been forgotten? Neglected in your own life? This is a time to get it back close. To get it back real. None of us want to serve a God that's not real. We want to see God show up in our car. We're driving to work or driving to the grocery store. You want to see God show up in your house to manifest among your house and in your family. You want to see Jesus show up big in your career endeavors or your business endeavors. Isn't that good? But we can't wince and reject the Holy Spirit. We can't resist the Holy Spirit. We can't rebel against the Holy Spirit, his person or his power. We got to stop playing with our toe in the water and get all in the water. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, in this way, Jesus announces the helper, the mighty Holy Spirit will come. He is announcing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming, and this would be to the disciples' advantage, because they thought life was going great. Yet Jesus said something greater was about to happen. And I'm telling you, in 2025, the Holy Spirit's like chomping at the bit. He's rubbing his hands. He says, I got something greater. And you said, I want Jesus. I want Jesus, help me. And the Holy Spirit said, I got something greater. I got something greater. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus is a promise for our future. We got our ticket to heaven. But the Holy Spirit is the promise for the day, year 2025. Will you receive him? Will you long after him? Will you invite him to be your partner and take responsibility for you? If you're like me, sometimes we get stubborn. We get hard-headed and hard-hearted because the times are hard. Difficulties come in our lives. But you got to say today, on this Communion Sunday, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I respond to you. I receive you. See, we like being in charge, but see, the Holy Spirit says, I want to be the senior partner, because I'm a gentleman. I'll stand by and watch you do it, watch you struggle with it, watch you try to get it done. Or are you going to let me help you? Because I already know how to do it. I know how to already get it done. Now, specifically, through the word, it says in John 20, I'm just closing with that. You can stand. You can go ahead and stand. He says, receive the Holy Spirit, John chapter 20. He says in verse 21, and Jesus said unto him, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I send to you. He's sending us into 2025. But we can't say, without help? No. I'm sending you help. Greatest help there is. I'm sending him to you. And he said to them, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to be received. That means welcomed with excitement and humble reverence. That means, Holy Spirit, you are God. And I let you take the position as God in my life. Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So this is what we say in song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the what? Blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? So the Holy Spirit helps purge us through the blood of Jesus. Because see, where the blood flows, the Holy Spirit goes. He said, plead the blood against that. I screwed up in 2024. Lord, look, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? And see, part of that wholeness means that we forgive not only others' mistakes and others' misgivings toward us, misconduct toward us. We forgive ourselves. I apply the blood. Too many people are trapped in the past and in the valley of regret. When the Holy Spirit says, okay, let's get out of the valley and get to the mountaintop with him. Praise the Lord. It's hallelujah. A new year, a new thing this year will bring. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands up to God right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to pray specifically for those who need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit after we take communion. Because you need to know this is the time. You don't need to be going through the year. We highly suggest and recommend that you go through the year spirit-filled, spirit-led, and spirit-formed. In other words, what does the Holy Spirit say to you? You never do or decide something without checking in with your partner. What's the Spirit say? Seven times in Revelation, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So you got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in the further lessons in this series. Praise the Lord. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for the answers to what's next. But we're going to pray for those that need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. Because that's important. Because the Holy Spirit says you can pray out mysteries, not hidden from you, but for you, as you pray in tongues, as you pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Sete lo bohose. Nana na bo sokulabat. Come on, just keep your hands raised. Desel to mambrede ito. Kani o obani iti siti. Dabaha. Dabaha sekile. Nahado sopo. Yeah, the devil's made you bad. He's made you busy. He's made things hard because you didn't take the time. When the answer was there,
it was not his but yours to take as thine. He's already got a way out. He already knows the route. He knows the way. Yeah, as you yield and respond to the Holy Spirit this day and every day, he'll show you the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Not just about money, not just about your marriage, your family, or your career, but about your body. The Holy Spirit knows how to get your body back in line and feeling just fine. Thank you, Jesus. He's your partner in every area of life, and he'll help you without limitation, reservation, or strife. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you would sit, please, and receive the communion elements as they come past you.